Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session for Monday, the 8th of December. I hope you're all keeping well. Good to have you with us as always. The whole idea of this session, as you know, is for us to do our analysis and to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, we've got a couple. There's I suppose, some of the fundamentals behind this market are a little bit unclear. There's a little bit of a certain lack of clarity across the board. Now, we do our analysis looking at the charts themselves, looking at some of the largest global liquid markets in the world, and making sure that the market fundamentals and the news are somewhat aligned. And then we want to have a look at sentiment and see if we look at the technical charts, do we get some sort of correlation in our understanding about what's actually going on. And across many markets, they're a little bit on the flat side. Now, saying that, we're continuing to see the US indices continue to grind higher. That's actually a trade that we're still in from last week. And so let's do that analysis. Let's put together our trade plan. We'll post it into the chat box, and then you'll be able to, you know, see pretty much where we're at in terms of opportunity and looking for those high probability trades, as always. Okay, so let's get into it. We'll start, of course, with our risk warning. This is an important week for news as well. We've got the FOMC, which I'll share with you in just momentarily. So we'll have a look at that, and we'll be broadcasting Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. No, we'll confirm the time. Sorry. The actual statement, Fed Chair Jerome Powell's, we'll be broadcasting for that. That's when things really start to heat up. Right. So just as a quick introduction, all profitable trades need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. So trade selection is an important feature, along with where do we enter and exit? How do we manage risk, along with trade management and psychology? So these are all very important features for us to... which we discuss every day in our live traders prior to entry, of course. And we're strong advocates of being, trying to maintain a high degree of consistency, even when you have sort of quite mixed market conditions in the backdrop. Try to be as consistent as you can, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with your capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's start a review then of this market moving news. So this is where we have a quick look at Forex Factory. Today is pretty quiet, and I suppose what we can do is just look at the data really from last Friday. We only had some news out from around 3 p.m., which was the price index, core PCE price index numbers, which were expected to come in pretty flat at 0.2, and that's pretty much where we're at. Now, from a consumer sentiment perspective, sentiment is increasing slightly, along with the inflation expectations 12 months out, seem to be coming in slightly lower than where we were. So sentiment, the consumer increasing a little bit, and the inflation expectations are coming down, still very, very high. We currently have interest rates potentially, well, currently at 4%, but on Wednesday night, we're expected to bring those numbers right down. And if you look here, we're currently at 4% for the US. And this is really where we're suggesting that inflation itself, which is currently just over 3%, is likely to be above 4%. Now, this presents a bit of a problem for the Trump administration and the Fed, which we'll come on to in just a minute. And one of the reasons why we've got sort of a broad-based sort of elements of fear and anxiety in these markets is what each central bank is dealing with. And we're going through the potential for the headlines this morning. There's the person that suggested that she could take over from Schroeble, from Christine Lagarde at the ECB, is a little bit more of a hawk in terms of the next move could be actually higher. So markets will now have to sort of start pricing that in. And they'll all be looking at inflation, because if inflation, which there's a broad-based consensus that inflation is coming down and we're still in this deflationary zone, our disinflationary zone, should I say, then it does allow these central banks to continue to cut rates. The problem is, if that's not the case, the problem is if actually inflation comes in a little bit higher, we'll probably see bond yields rally. We'll probably see some sort of flight to safety trade eventually. But none of that is being priced in, which is, I suppose, an important thing to understand currently. Right, so what do we have this week? Well, it's an important week for central banks, so we're going to get the RBA. Very much expected to pause now. You can see the RBA from an interest rate perspective is currently at 3.6, and they're expected to hold those levels now at 3.6. We're going to be hearing from the governor of the Bank of Japan. Very important news event prior to the BOJ's potential rate hike dynamic. So you're getting different monetary policy from different central banks depending on their economic backdrop and inflation dynamic. And there is a significant amount of variation in there. So we have slightly worrying higher inflation in countries like the US, Australia, and the UK. Pretty flat around things like Europe. And we have the BOJ. I want to do a little bit of analysis on Japanese government bonds in just a moment. So it is likely to give us a little bit of a heads up. So that's tomorrow morning in the early hours. Anyone trading the Aussie dollar, just be mindful of that event. And then 9 a.m. we'll be broadcasting live, of course, due to participate in a moderated discussion about inflation, interest rates, financial stability, and the external value of the yen. Really, really interesting, because there'll become a point. I might actually have this brief discussion now. So if you look at government debt and you look at over different durations, so you've got the Japanese 2-year, we'll have a look at the Japanese 10-year as well. You can see we've rallied really quite aggressively in these as of late. And this is really important, and the 30-year as well. So, and you can see they're all spiking quite aggressively higher. Now, the key point for these government bond yields is at what point will Japanese investors repatriate their capital, which is currently in US dollars, broadly in government debt? At what point will they repatriate that? Will they get a return at home for similar kind of yield? Because you've got these yields coming down in the US and you've got these yields going up in Japan. So I suppose there's still a bit of room to the upside for the 2-year Japanese note. We currently have interest rates at 0.5. If you look down here at the BOJ, less than 0.5. And we currently have the 2-year treasury, or the Japanese 2-year note, at 1.06. So we now have a bit of space for the Fed, for the Bank of Japan to actually start raising rates. At the minute, there's potentially two rate hikes priced in from the BOJ. And they've got the economic green light to be able to do it. Now, that's fine for the BOJ. The repatriation of the capital is going to be interesting because you get a big swing. You'll get Japanese investors taking their dollars, exchanging them into yen, and repatriating that capital back to Japan, at which point the yen will see a massive swing to the upside. Currently, it's been very, very low. And this is something to just be mindful of, because it's likely to present at some point really fantastic opportunities. And that's why this news event in here tomorrow for the BOJ at 9 a.m. is going to be really, really quite important, because the markets will be looking very, very carefully to know at what point will some of that capital start to swing from the US back into Japan. And when that happens, we're going to see the unwind of what's called a carry trade, which we understand is to the value of sort of 20 trillion. So it's we're talking about earth-shaking amounts of money here. Now, it won't all go in one go or anything like that, but there'll be tranches and BOJ government policy, Bank of Japan monetary policy will be critical in those capital flows. So we've got ADP numbers in here, got job openings. So we get a lot of this data is kind of all over the place a little bit now. And we've got weekly ADP numbers as a result of firing of BLS chief and, the government shutdown. So I'm not sure exactly what the normal is right now, but things will settle down, I'm sure, early next year. So we've got Christine Lagarde who will be speaking next on this Wednesday. We'll be hearing from the Bank of Canada, the FOMC as well, Wednesday evening, and that press conference, which we'll be broadcasting live on Wednesday. Thursday, you can see how much, it's all about central banks, really. On Thursday morning, we'll have the S&P. We'll be broadcasting live for that. Unemployment claims in there. GDP for the UK, very limited growth. And nothing really on Friday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is are the important days for these markets with a really strong focus on markets like the yen. Okay, so look, what do we have here? We've got an awful lot of very little. There's the potential in many of these markets. Like the dollar is in a bit of a strange spot here. Not really trading it with that much confidence. We had a big rally last week. We're expecting continuation. We're not really getting it just yet. And this is the trade we're really looking for. We were talking on Friday that if this started to sell off at these levels, that would trigger an opportunity below the 155.00 level. We didn't actually get that, and we actually closed considerably higher. So it's kind of back to the drawing board just a little bit. Let's reassert. Let's reassert this level. So we're still in this downward trend, and we'll be watching this very, very carefully. So it's really looking for very, very precise entries and opportunities around the dollar yen as and when we get the opportunity. So we can continue to monitor it. Where we're at regarding the dollar, I suppose one fairly quick and easy way of doing it is looking at the dollar index. So above 100, we're expecting the dollar to actually strengthen quite considerably, and it rolled over and actually made a new low. So, and we've now pulled back. It's just a bit of a mixed bag as far as the dollar is concerned, and as a result, you can see the dollar, the CAD. This is Friday's candlestick, is it? Yeah, that's a significant move there in the dollar CAD. That strong rally in these commodity currencies is quite an interesting little play. Yeah, so talking about the yen, there will be opportunities at some point in the yen. Clearly not just yet, but we'll be very interested to see what the market reaction is around Governor of the Bank of Japan's talk. I think it's tomorrow, isn't it? So we'll be very, very interested in that. When we come on to commodities, we look at gold. Our bias is very much to the upside, but this is a horrible period of kind of quite choppy price action, really. Like we've seen sort of back here, it's not too dissimilar. It's slightly longer than what we saw back here, But then eventually you do get that rally to the upside, and we're looking for a buy trade there in gold. And this is what we mean by kind of a messy backdrop. It's like there's no huge sort of clarity in these markets. There's a little bit of nervousness there. There's a little bit of sort of anxiety, it appears, from a price action perspective. There's a lack of clarity, and very similar dynamic really regarding US oil. So our bias would still be to the downside, but you can see the last 3-4 days, it's a little bit up and down. So when you have these biases, you can look for opportunities to get in, and it becomes a bit of a timing issue. And not necessarily which market and the direction, like gold to the upside, but it's the timing of the trade. It's the volatility behind it, which is a little bit up and down. And you do get, during relatively quieter periods for markets, and I think it's fair to say volatility levels are much lower than perhaps we would have anticipated. And it's important to sort of bear that in mind. You look at things like the euro dollar, you know, the volume levels, looking at the ATR at the bottom of the screen, you know, we definitely have much, much lower volume in these markets. And we're expecting quite a strong rally and close out to the end of the year. But at the moment, the volatility is very, very low. And we're edging closer to these all-time highs. And that's all we're really doing, is just inching there. And it's quite sort of painful, really. If we zoom out and you look at something like the German DAX, this is now a structural failure trade, and we're now back up to the 50 period and the 100 period moving average. Question marks over, I suppose, the fiscal package and the ECB monetary policy approach. The FTSE, it's a double top now, but would we be interested in selling this? Not really. And then it brings us full circle to the dollar index. Which is a bit of a pause after some significant selling, you'd have to say. So what are we left with is the interesting question for these markets. What are we left with? Mild risk on market conditions due to dovish Fed expectations, including Kevin Hassett as next chair, an AI bounce, and end of year rally potential. I mean, a lot of that is still very much intact. Just going to share the, just before I let you guys go, there's a, if you look at markets like Nvidia, you can see why the indices are kind of just grinding, because some of the signals we're getting around markets like Nvidia is very, very unclear. And we now have competition in there, but there is quite an interesting Magnificent Seven ETF. And although the dynamics are on the bullish end, there's a lot of gaps in there, and there's a marginal upside on Friday, and that's what it really was. And as a result, the S&P and the NASDAQ were grinding higher. So we're going to have a look at those pre-market prices now in from 9 o'clock onwards, UK time. So we'll put mixed stroke mild risk on, meaning if you want to buy the indices, they're only grinding higher. We don't really have a decent pullback to get into them, but we probably expect those to continue further higher. Okay, so, and that AI bounce is still intact. It's not particularly forceful. So just be mindful of that. So further US indices strength, further dollar weakness eventually, yes. Japanese strength on BOJ rate hike rhetoric and narrowing 2-year. Yeah, so that's the narrowing of 2-year between the US and Japan. That will be important. And US oil, yeah, don't really have a great sell trade in US oil or gold for now. So it's not the most compelling of trade plans as such, but that's pretty much where we're at. Yeah. Right, I'll post that into the chat box. Just be mindful and be very careful of perhaps trade frequency is something quite important right now. If you can wait for better quality trades to come, it's a much better position to take. It'll be quite easy to get into 3, 4, 5 trades and not be that surprised by their outcome. So, you know, a difficult phase. We were expecting a little bit more exuberance, but you could say October, November was quite exuberant. And now we're just wondering what sort of close out to the year we're going to have. And you know, we may just get these US indices just rallying very close to all-time highs and perhaps fizzling out. We'll really have to wait and see. So, yeah, not the easiest of market dynamics to get to grips with. We're certainly dovish Fed, got weaker employment numbers, although last week's unemployment claims numbers came in 30,000 less than what the market was expecting. So, I mean, that's a strange one to get your head around, as well as some of the other economic data at the moment. We still have this AI rally, which appears to be alive and well, despite some of the concerns you would hear on that. And who knows what Trump does next? I mean, some of the stuff just gets a bit more sillier by the minute, it appears. But yeah, not too sure whether markets will react in a positive or negative manner to Trump rhetoric. So we'll have to manage it as it unfolds, pretty much as we've been trying to do all year, really. So we're still risk on, we're still indices up, we're still potentially dollar down, we're still potentially US bond yields down. They're actually looking, if you look at the US, they're actually looking a little bit more constructive or bullish, really. We're seeing a bit of a short-term little rally to the upside on the 2-year and the 10-year. This is going against the Federal Reserve grain, so to speak, not giving the Fed that much room now, it appears. And obviously the Fed have a little bit more control over the 2-year. So you're talking about rallying from a low of around 3.5 to 3.57 with interest rates up at 4%. So you bring that down to 3.75, there's not much room there. So it's a delicate balancing act, really, for these central banks now. And they don't want to get the inflation narrative wrong. You know, they all seem to be saying how deflationary, disinflationary the conditions are going to be, except what we see is inflation numbers continue to rally and rise. So not particularly coherent, but maybe we will have a little spike in inflation and then that inflation number will roll over, which then would give the Fed and other central banks opportunities to continue to cut rates. Right, okay, on that note, mixed market conditions, I'm afraid, and it's now Monday, which is the start of a new calendar week. Let's see how we get on. Right, great stuff. All right, listen, on that note, guys, we posted today's trade plan into the chat box. Those of you that can join us for the European trading session, we'll be broadcasting there momentarily. So we'll see you there very shortly. Right, thanks, everyone. I'll let you go. Speak to you soon. Bye for now.